Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We have Allie Stevens on board today, once again with news. Allie always does a great job, and big Eagles fan as well, so that's been a struggle, I'm sure. See what they do with the Cowboys this week. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go to REWfinancial.com. The beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, the Chateau, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline, always open at 1-800-795-9565. You can go to LenapeSolar.com or Nons in the Lenape Solar Hotline. We go right now to bring in my counterpart, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football, my good friend Greg Sharp. Greg, welcome. Great to have you on board, buddy.
Steve, always good to join you.
All right. Let's talk about the makeup of this football team. You have now broadcast three dramatic comebacks. One where they came back against Wisconsin, 130-27. The 29-28 comeback at Northwestern. And last week's 28-24 comeback at Michigan State. What are the ingredients that you're seeing within the character of this football team that's allowing that to happen?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one that I know Bo Pelini's been asked a lot in the last couple of weeks, and he keeps kind of shrugging his shoulders and saying, boy, I wish we wouldn't put ourselves in that position. But, you know, I think when you have a veteran quarterback, and Nebraska's got that in Tater Martinez, and a guy who just is not really afraid to fail. So he'll just go play his game, whether it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter, and he's got a calmness about him that I think this team rallies around late in games, and he's been able to lead this team on some pretty terrific drives in the fourth quarter when one more mistake and you're going to lose. And he's just got that ability to keep this team level-headed and play through the final gun. And but again, I think this team wants to get to the point, Steve, where they're not having to make those comebacks and that they're getting out in front of teams. And they've only been able to do that once in the last month, and that was against Michigan.
I've always liked Kenny Bell. I've always felt he was a complete player the way he blocks. He buys into everything. But it always helps when you get some other people to help out. What about Jamal Turner? Has he started to emerge as a guy that balances off Bell on the outside?
A little bit. You know, I think that it's an interesting group, and I told people all off season I thought Nebraska's wide receiver core would be the most improved part of this team. They've got Quincy Enunwa, who's just a big, strong, great blocking guy that'll go make tough catches over the middle. Kenny Bell's got that speed to get downfield and beat people deep. And Jamal's got that make-a-miss ability. He's got a little shimmy to his shake. And he ran a really good route to get that catch against Michigan State to win the game. Former quarterback, played quarterback in high school down in the state of Texas, has had to make that conversion in Lincoln to being a wide receiver. And I think it's starting to come together for him. It's starting to make sense what he's doing. And I think he's going to continue to be a playmaker for this team.
Greg, what about I want to get to Amir Abdullah. Rex Burkhead, to me, has always been the quintessential Nebraska downhill eye back. And who knows what his status is this week. But it's been great to see a kid like Abdullah just step forward. What has he brought in Burkhead's absence that has really helped out Martinez?
He's got another gear that Rex doesn't have. He's got the ability to take it the distance, where Rex, a really good run was 20 yards. And I agree with you on Burkhead. In my time in Lincoln, he's by far my favorite kid on the team, and my heart breaks for him that this is the way his senior year has had to go. Doubt he plays again this week, but Amir's just been really good. Amir's very good at catching the ball out of the backfield. He's very tough. He's not afraid to run between the tackles. And I think he's answered a lot of questions in people's minds around here about what that future is going to look like down the road when Burkhead graduates, and everybody's got a lot of smiles on their face with what they've seen him accomplish this year. He's a complete back. I felt like when Nebraska signed him out of the deep south coming out of high school that he might be the steal of that recruiting class. He's proven that to be true with what he's done this year.
Yeah, I agree with you on Burkett. I felt if there was any senior that deserved to go out big, it's him, because on and off the field, he's given everything he has to the game. Taylor Martinez. Now, you know, we all know he didn't go to the Peyton Manning passing school camp. We got that part. But it sure does look like the way he delivers the ball is a little bit different, and it looks like he's a lot smoother in terms of how he approaches the passing game.
Yeah, I think mechanically he's made some strides. It's still not the prettiest thing that you can see, but you look at his effectiveness and like McGloin's touchdown interception ratio, Taters is really good, and he's had some really good games. Now, last week he did not have one of his better games. He threw three picks, but his decision making's been better. His ability to learn this offense and understand it has taken a step forward. And why not? It's the second year for Tim Beck as the offensive coordinator. So I think he just has a more comfortable feeling with what he's calling out there. He's got the respect and admiration of his teammates, and he's playing like a guy that's in his third year as a starting quarterback at this level. And I'm sure glad he's here. I'm not sure I'd trade many guys for what Taylor Martinez is at quarterback right now for Nebraska.
Yeah, I understand that completely, Greg. Have you been around a quarterback or seen a quarterback that has as much straight line speed as this guy does?
I'm kind of rolling through the Rolodex of names in the past. It's, you know, Eric Crouch, it's pretty close. I mean, it's a similar kind of a burst that Crouch had. But I'll tell you this, I think Taylor throws the ball better than Eric Crouch did. And so, there's some similarities between Crouch and Taylor. I think that would probably be the closest thing. When he gets it and goes, and he's running so much better this year than he did last year, he's hard to stop, and Michigan State sure saw that. That was the thing that kind of shocked me a little bit last week, was that here is Michigan State's defense only giving up 90 yards a game on the ground, and Nebraska gouges them for over 300. That was pretty impressive.
Extremely impressive against that defense. That defense for Nebraska, just 46% completion rate against them. The 11 of them together, what have you seen that's forced that to happen in terms of pressure up front and also what the back seven have done in coverage?
Yeah, I think it's more the back seven. I think that they are better up front than they've been. In conference play, the number of sacks are down a little bit. It's just the back seven's kind of figuring some things out. And when Bo's defense really hums along and works is when his back seven really gets going. And our last year in the Big 12, the year before we came into the Big 10 conference, Bo had a veteran secondary where all four of those starters are now in the NFL playing. He's got a group that's getting close to that good right now, and most of these kids are going to be back next year. The two safeties leave us, but our corner, our nickel, all those guys are back. So they're just doing a great job of covering people. And our front seven is doing a decent job of at least getting in the quarterback's face a little bit, making those throws a little bit quicker than those guys would like.
Three times this year, I think Bo has started with dime. And, of course, Ciante Evans has been very effective as nickel. Those kind of combination defenses, does it seem like Nebraska really has that part of it down?
Yeah, he loves that. And really, Steve, that's where, particularly in the Big 12, when almost everybody ran spread, we were in dime a bunch. And Bo even nicknamed his defense the Peso defense. We've had to go away from that because of the more traditional styles in the Big Ten Conference. We've seen a lot of spread attacks this year, not so much last week with Michigan State, and we won't see that again Saturday with the Nittany Lions coming to town. But I think he's real comfortable having those DBs out on the field and maybe have a little bit more speed on the field. But the linebackers will be a bigger part of the plan coming up Saturday.
I have never in my career seen a team that's 7-2 that's -9 giveaway takeaway.
Nope.
How maddening is the turnover part, Ben?
it's incredible for a team to have that kind of record with that margin. And the worry here, Steve, is that at some point in time, that's going to catch up to you. And that's going to cost you a football game. Now, this team has been able to avoid that for the most part this year. And you look at these two teams, the contrast is dramatic. The +9 to -9, it's just overwhelmingly dramatic. And so Nebraska's got to figure that out. When they haven't turned it over, they've been really good. And I think that's why the comebacks have happened, because they've been able to lock in for a quarter and a half without turning the ball over, and that's when they've been able to make these big fourth quarter stands against Northwestern and Michigan State. But it's been really maddening. You get the feeling at this point in the season, nine games in, that's just what this team is. And they're just going to have to keep trying to overcome it week in and week out.
Give us an idea of the value of Brett Maher.
Well, he was tremendous a year ago. He's really been off a little bit this year. He's missed some kicks. He's had some shank punts. He will not be all-conference in either category where he was last year. He's taken a bit of a step back. It's been a kind of a concern to some Nebraska fans. He missed a fairly short field goal last Saturday in East Lansing. He had a bad punt off the side of his foot. It's been puzzling that he has not had a better senior year than he had as a junior, when he was just tremendous in all-conference in both the place-kicking and punting aspect of the game.
Nebraska was always in the thick of Big 12 championship divisional races to get themselves to a Big 12 championship game. Now, obviously, right there in the thick of a Legends Division race at this point. How the fans embrace that part of it?
It's been interesting because we finished off the Ohio State game a month ago and just got absolutely obliterated by the Buckeyes that night. And the fan base was really restless. And there was some heat coming at Bo a little bit. And I kept telling people, you know, we still have a great chance to win this division, and we still have some work to do that. But if we get to Indianapolis and Bo gets his team into the Big Ten title game, that'll be at the end of his fifth regular season, and he will have steered Nebraska into a conference championship game in three of those five. That's really good. And I just think he's done a really good job. He's got this team playing very well right now. They're locked in. And I think he has a program headed in the direction he wants it to go in. And so fan bases are fickle. I don't need to tell you that they want every week to be on the winning side of the scoreboard. That's tough to do in this age of parity in college football. And Nebraska fans were certainly spoiled with what Coach Osborne did in the mid-90s with winning three national titles in 4 years. That's almost impossible to do, and I don't know that that will ever happen here again. But I think Bo's been very consistent. Every season he's won nine or more games. Again, that's hard to do in college football. I just think he's done a very solid job as head coach here in Lincoln.
Well, one more thing for you, Greg, and then I'll let you go. We all know a year ago, Matt Davidson, you, me, sitting in the broadcast booth before the game, in that kind of atmosphere. Now, a year later, how does it feel, at least on your end, to go into a game like this, and we're talking about football and about matchups and things like that?
Well, I had a conversation with Nebraska running backs coach Ron Brown about this early in the week, and Ron was the one who delivered the prayer at midfield last week at Beaver Stadium, and he said he has so much admiration for the Penn State team, the coaching staff, the job they've done. He, as he put it, he said it's going to be an honor to play them again on Saturday. And I, you know, I know last year, Steve, and I'm not sure where you were on this issue, but I know there were some people that wondered why that game was being played. I felt like it was important to play that game because I thought that was going to be the start of the healing process for your university. And, you know, I think it was probably a good opponent for Penn State to have in town in Nebraska. And I think there's a lot of respect now being built up between these two fan bases, and I hope that continues for years to come.
Yeah, I felt the same way you did. I felt it was extremely important that the game was played, and I also felt it was extremely important that it was Nebraska, because there's this something between the two schools that dates back a long time, and if you're going to pick a crossover rival, I think it's the perfect one to have. So, yeah, you and I were on the same page, but that's not unusual. Greg, thanks so much. I appreciate it as always. I can't wait to see you Saturday, by the way. Tell Davidson I said hi.
I will do so. Great. Travel safe. I bumped up an hour on you today. I'll be honest with you. I'm sneaking out to play some golf. We've got a great day here today. It's going to be beautiful here Saturday for our game.
Yeah, I heard it's going to be 75 on Saturday. Yeah. Everybody's, you know, I mean, Ham's talking about bringing shorts.
he'll be allowed in the press box of those. He can bring them.
Good. That we appreciate. Hey, Greg, thanks so much, buddy. I can't wait to see you Saturday.
Have a good day.
That's Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football. Yeah, Hammer might bring shorts. He has done games in shorts before, by the way, just so you know. So that's why I felt comfortable in bringing it up. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. In the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, Horse Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline. Now you can use that Lenape Solar Hotline. In fact, I'd like to see you start using it ASAP here at 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Bill O'Brien tonight from 6:05 to 7 from Damon's. Now, this will be the last Thursday Bill's on the show with us. The reason being is that we'll go to a Tuesday this next week and then Tuesday the week after. Why? Because next week on Thursday, the Nittany Lion basketball team plays North Carolina State in Puerto Rico with a 5 o'clock start in San Juan. And then the week after is Thanksgiving. And so we are we have to move the show to Tuesday next week. But he's on Thursday. He's on tonight. And we're looking forward to that. So... So that's where we are with the call-in show. We always hit this time of the year, and of course, Thanksgiving week, we always have it and always have had it. And Thanksgiving, we always have it on Tuesday, so that's no issue. So we'll see how it works. I don't know how much we're going to get Bill O'Brien next Tuesday. I don't know. He'll be on at some point, but I don't know how much we're going to get him. Tuesday's a big practice day. I mean, it's a huge practice day. And so we'll work something out. There'll be something worked out, and I'm sure it involves me coming up with an idea. To be honest with you. I don't schedule these things, but I have to usually come up with the ideas to make it work. So I'll have to come up with an idea. I'll come up with some idea and something somewhere, you know. And then when Bill's ready to be there, he's ready to be there. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, the last two, which were expressed in August, the last two for the football part of it, before we then transition completely to basketball. we knew it was going to be an issue because of practice. Now, Thanksgiving week, now that you know, Thanksgiving week may be okay only because that's term break at Penn State. So Thanksgiving week is term break. Next week, though, is going to be, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be really tough getting Bill down there at, I mean, they have practice on a Tuesday, plus they have classes. There's only a certain window they can work in. Now, with term break the week after, Thanksgiving's a fall break, yeah, it's a little more workable. But Bill also hasn't put out the practice schedule for that week either. So, yeah, and I only said it because I just got an email from Bill's secretary saying, Steve, Steve didn't schedule it. But Steve has to solve it. So, that's okay. I'll solve it. I don't know how I'm going to solve it yet, but I'll solve it. Yeah. But he'll be on tonight, 6:05 to 7 o'clock. And I don't know why I get the feeling that next week, next Tuesday, Jack Ham will mystically make an appearance. And I do know the Tuesday after term break week, Patrick Chambers and Bill and I, the three of us are actually, and I don't know if the producers know this yet, but Patrick, Bill, and I, the three of us are doing the show together. Right. Yeah, Patrick's not going to be on the entire show, but he's going to be there for part of it. So we're looking forward to it. And Bill and Patrick have become really, really good friends. Really good friends.
guys are texting each other all the time, for crying out loud. You know, like, they're relatively the same age. They got a lot of the same challenges. And I think it's great the way that, you know, that they're close, the way they're bonded together, because, again, being that close in age. All right, we're going to talk and take your calls at 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Allie Stevens and the news coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit Rick online at rewfinancial.com. Again, that's REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Let It Be Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Coming up tonight, 6.05 to 7, Bill O'Brien, Damon's in State College for the Penn State football show. Tomorrow, basketball, Bucknell at Purdue. Penn State, Nittany Lions at home with St. Francis at the Jordan Center at 7. And Shikellamy and Milton, playoff football tomorrow night. Saturday, Bucknell plays at Georgetown. The Nittany Lions play at Nebraska. Lady Lion basketball team at Penn State opens with Howard. They're ranked 8th in the country. Penn State is. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. The NHL is considering two union proposals. They've had several meetings, and they've been long meetings, which is good. And they put a couple of proposals on the table that would phase it down to a 50-50 deal by year three of the agreement. The other part about it is that a negotiating part has been what to do with contracts that are already signed in the NHL. And that's a part they're also trying to negotiate. Then there is this one, the manager, who was not named. Listen, I mean, listen to this story. USC fired a student manager for deflating 5-game footballs below regulation levels for the USC-Oregon game last Saturday. The manager, who was not named, admitted to deflating the footballs used in the game, according to a report on the school's website. In the report, USC said no coaches, players, staffers, or administration had any knowledge of the manager's actions, which reportedly took place after game officials had tested the balls well before kickoff. USC coach Lane Kiffin was disappointed by the manager's actions. "It was a distraction that nobody here knew about," he said today. "It had no effect on the game. If anything, it'd have a negative effect throwing two different types of balls for our quarterback. I was just disappointed because it was a distraction that we didn't need." 3 footballs were found to be in violation of NCAA regulations before the game began, and 2 more footballs were discovered at halftime, meaning that at some point in the first half, plays did feature slightly deflated footballs. Underinflated footballs typically travel a little slower speed than fully inflated footballs and are thought to be easier to catch and throw. "Obviously, as a head coach, everything falls on you," said Kiffin. "The situation was brought to our attention not until this Sunday by the conference. That there was a situation before the game where a student manager on the Oregon sidelines in front of the Oregon team was deflating footballs. The compliance department obviously did a very thorough check and research of everything involved to make sure that there was no knowledge of any coaches or players knowing anything about this. I don't know why it was done." USC announced that it had been fined and reprimanded by the Pac-12.
though the amount of the fine was not specified. We acknowledge that the Pac-12's reprimand and fine, USC Athletic Director Pat Hayden said, we regret the incident occurred. It was unacceptable, and we apologize for it. I can assure you that this will not happen again. Kiffin said that the compliance department researched the situation and concluded the manager acted alone. Says they don't know why he did it, Kiffin said. Matt Barkley was questioned about this as well, obviously, and he had no knowledge of it at all. Oregon coach Chip Kelly said at SiriusXM, said, I heard about it post-game, but it doesn't affect us. We worry, and our concern is what we can control. Oregon beat USC 62-51 after trailing 35-24 at halftime. Oh. Wow. They're deflating footballs now. The Sports Illustrated article was tough. Well, I mean, here, let me just get into this, to the Lane Kiffin thing for a moment. And this is obviously from the outside looking in, because I've never met him. I've never been in the same room with him. But here's the impression I get. I work around two guys right now, in Patrick Chambers and Bill O'Brien, and more extensively than anybody else. There are a lot of other coaches I work around I could say the same thing about. That have really worked hard in life to earn everything they have. They were not born with a silver coaching spoon in their mouth and then moved up through the ranks. Patrick Chambers, after getting out of college, entered the family business. He was a salesperson. Did that for 10 years. Then really wanted to get back into coaching. He wanted to try coaching out. So he did. And eventually hooked up with Jay Wright. Worked his way through. And then became a top assistant. And then Boston University decided to fire Dennis Wolfe. Patrick, with his natural enthusiasm, I'm sure he interviewed really well, got the job, and in 2 years was highly successful at BU at 42-22. In his last year, he won the America East Championship and went to the NCAA tournament, where for 35 minutes they gave Kansas all they could handle. And now here at Penn State. He's all about work ethic. He's all about nose to the grindstone. He works hard, expects everybody else around him to work hard. It's constant work, work, work. Tells me all the time that he says, I need to keep remembering patience. I need to keep remembering patience. He tells me that all the time. I had a long talk with him in his office today about this. Bill O'Brien has a Brown degree. There's a lot of things in life he can do. He wants to coach football. He works at Brown. Eventually he gets to stops along the way at Georgia Tech, Maryland, and Duke. And then with his son, takes a pay cut, 50% pay cut, in fact, and takes the New England Patriots job as quality control coach. Now, Children's Hospital in Boston is a magnificent place. And Bill and I both know that firsthand. We both had children in there. So he does that for that reason. He then works, impresses Bill Belichick, works with the wide receivers, then the quarterbacks, is the unnamed offensive coordinator, and then is the named offensive coordinator. Been calling the plays. Wasn't last year, wasn't the only year he called plays for the Patriots. And then he gets his first head coaching job at Penn State. And he's a worker. Incredible work ethic. Patrick Chambers and Bill O'Brien literally appreciate everything they have because they had to work for everything. Now, again, this is outside looking in. Lane Kiffin's a young guy.
He's what, 37? But he's also a guy that along the way has, you know, his father was a fine football player in his own right, by the way, but a great defensive coordinator for many years, especially with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so he's 37 years old. And he's the youngest head coach of any BCS conference team in the country. And you can see it because he doesn't coach with a lot of maturity. Doesn't handle himself with the media with a lot of maturity. And he doesn't show any patience. And certainly he worked his way through the ranks. You know, Fresno State, Colorado State, quality control coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars, then, you know, USC with tight ends, wideouts, and then he was the offensive coordinator. And then comes out of that and then gets the Raiders job for 20 games. He's 5-15. Then he goes to Tennessee for a year. And you know, he's 7-6 there. Then after 1 year, Tennessee takes the USC job. And he doesn't coach with a lot of patience. And he doesn't handle things with a lot of maturity. So I mean, he's been embroiled in some scrapes along the way, in part because I think he's been handed too many things along the way. I mean, he's moved up the ranks at an incredible pace. And someone asked me one time, what's the greatest accomplishment he's had? And I said, getting the USC job. Now they did well last year. They were 10-2, but they've fallen back. You know, they've fallen back this year. And he just has handled things all wrong. And this has nothing to do with the Silas Red thing. I don't care about that. I really don't care about that. I'm just talking about this thing with the football thing. You know, it sounds like it's just the manager that's just doing this. Okay? But they're a mess. Right now. And part of it is he still doesn't understand that it's okay to win the game 7-6, that he thinks you got to win every game 70-6. And then when it comes to Silas Wright, and again, this has nothing to do with Wright. I could care less about that part. But the part that bothers me is that when he gets to the press conference and he starts going through, like, hey, you know, I called, and I can't remember the booster whose plane they used, some big-time dude. And they were, you know, I called him. He says, well, we got the plane right away. We flew six coaches in, brought in some coaches up here, the whole thing, and we put on the full-court press and a PowerPoint presentation and blah, 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 blah. And he says, you know, he said, we can do that. He says, okay, because we're USC. Yeah. I never understood the cocky, arrogant tone about it. I'm thinking to myself, you haven't accomplished anything. And you haven't worked for anything. It's okay to get there and tell your story and tell me that, okay, you know, you want to know how we did it? Well, this is how we went about it. He says, you know, I did talk to an influential booster, and you give the name, whomever it was. He said, and then, he said, you know, we flew to White Plains and we went over. He said, we just talked about what we could offer. And it turned out we got fortunate. He decided he wanted to come here, and we think he can be a big help to us. That's all you have to say. You don't have to sit there and get cocky about where USC and who we are. I mean, look, save it for the recruiting pitch. Grow up. Stop being so insecure. Because that's a real, because that's a sign of absolute insecurity. I mean, when you have to continually blow your own horn about how great, how special, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, that's maturity. You know, talking about how he voted in the press, in the USA Today poll, then having to withdraw from doing it. It's, you know, you need patience. You need maturity. You just do. And he's taking a high-profile job. You always feel like he has a shot at, you know, because, I mean, look, he has great recruiting area all around him where they should be able to always get talent. Now, to his credit, in maturity, he did take the biggest responsibility for their 6-3 start. So, you find out certain stories. Did Lane Kiffin try to deceive Colorado by having players switch jerseys? In a 50-6 win. Now, why do you have to do that? The USC coach, let's see, what did it say here? Cody Kessler, the backup quarterback, usually wears number 6. But he switched to number 35 during special teams plays, which included a run for a 2-point conversion. The punter, Kyle Negrit, is also number 35. Kiffin tried to play off the jersey switching by claiming he did nothing wrong. We change jerseys all the time with our guys. We'll change some this week. Everything's within the college rules. Yes and no. Players are allowed to wear the same number as another player as long as they're not in the field together at the same time. But NCAA rules specifically prohibit the changing of jerseys if it's meant to deceive another team. Special teams coach John Baxter told Kessler to change jerseys in the first half. Coach Baxter told me to put it on, so I was like, all right, yes, sir, Kessler said. DJ Morgan came up to me and said, yeah, he says, you look like a running back. Kessler also noted that he was trying to look big. Also noted that he was trying to look big like Negrit, the punter, who outweighs the quarterback by about 10 pounds. The two players are both 6'1". I mean, it's that kind of stuff. I mean, you submit a number list, okay? When the game starts, those are the numbers you play with. Guys do change jerseys because they end up in the same special team. The special team part's why it happens. But that wasn't the case. That's deception. And to do it in the middle of the game, it's unethical. And again, it goes back to the maturity part and why he's a target. Because you can't keep acting this immature about your job when you're making $4 million a year. I'd never let my kid play for him. We'll go back, close it out in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
All right, closing it out for this Thursday. Thanks to Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football, and to Walt Moody, the sports editor of the Center Daily Times. Tomorrow, we'll have Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. Dave Revson, Big Ten Network. Conversation with Bill O'Brien as well. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. And you can always visit Rick online at rewfinancial.com. We're at the Chateau with the Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. You can always go to Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline, of course, open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And it's powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. So that's what we have for you coming up with guests tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll transition into next week, which is Indiana Football Week. And of course, we had Dave Paulson on earlier in the week, and our goal is to get Dave Paulson on every week, talk with him. We're looking forward to that. Bucknell will open, by the way, at Purdue. All right, back with you an hour from now from Damon's with Bill O'Brien on the Penn State Football Show from 6:05 to 7 o'clock. Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. Back with you in about an hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.